All right, let's start from the Mishnah, okay? Even though we saw it already. Chafam Adays, the bottom Mishnah. Bal Keri Mahar Her Beliba V'in Mevarech. So, Bal Keri, I'm not going to translate that. There's Mahar Her Beliba, which is referring to Kriya Shema. It apparently should not say anything, but at least he should think the Shema. V'in Mevarech Lo Lefoneha V'lo Lachoreha. The Birchas Kriya Shema, he shouldn't even think. Okay, that's the Shema. Then the next part of the Mishnah says, "V'al hamazon mivarech la'acharav ve'en mivarech l'fano." So you should think the berachas hamazon, but you shouldn't think if you want to make hamotzi, whatever, ha'etz.
Because these are all daraisas.
Oh, so Rashi, what does Rashi say? Bal keri, mitikanes Ezra ve'elech shetikin tefila l'balikarian. So Ezra was misakin that a bal keri has to go to the mikvah lasuk b'torah before he learns Torah. Kidamrin b'bakam b'perek maruba. Even though apparently this is not talking about diri Torah, but there's an inyan of going to the mikvah. So continues Rashi. Mahar her kriya shema b'libo kishimagia zman hamikra. When it comes time to read, where everyone else is reading, in the shul you shouldn't read it, but at least you should think it. Ve'en mevarech, I feel over here. He says, when it comes to Berachas Kriya Shema, you shouldn't even think it. Lo lefoneh v'lo l'achoreha, not the brachas before or after it. Kivan debracha is lav midaraisa, since, as you said, it's not deraisa, Berachas Kriya Shema. Lo atzruchuhu rabbanon. The rabbanon do not require hirhor, which is the shaila of the lashon of lo atzruchuhu rabbanon. It should say they don't allow it, right? It sounds like not that it's you're allowed to think it, and that's lechnim mishos adin. If you think it, it sounds like you're not allowed to. It's aser, but nonetheless, so we'll get back to that Rashi of lo atzruchuhu rabbanon. Good evening. V'al hamazon mevarach acharav. You have a gemara over here. Thank you. Dechiyuva deraisahu, benching is a deraisa. Ve'en mevarech lefanav lav deraisahu. However, continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda omer mevarech lefanehem lachareihem. Rabbi Huda apparently doesn't care a bracha before, a bracha afterwards. When it comes to berachas hamazon, apparently talking about Kriya Shema, it doesn't make a difference. You can always be mevarech, which...
Oh, he's talking about both?
It's not so clear. Mevarech lefneihem lachareihem. Maybe that sounds like
the Shema.
You think it's talking about the Shema?
Yeah, I mean, what bracha would you say after? Unless you're going to talk about if you're benching on wine and then you got to make a bracha lachrona, but you're involving a whole other inyan yet that mezum and this that. Here, you wouldn't, because it's a single person's about keri. So you wouldn't be thinking, if you stop to think about it, you're not talking about a group of three guys or about Kerry that had to have a mezum in there.
Okay.
You're one guy. So with Nistama, it should be Shema, because, you know, Berachas HaMazon, you wouldn't have, since it's an individual, doesn't Mevarech HaYayin. Is that correct?
So, in other words, when Rabbi Huda says Mevarech HaYayin,
you're only talking about Shema, because in this particular case, because he's a Baal Keri and he's a singular individual, there's no way he can get involved in a Geffen and a Mi'in Shalosh.
Why can he say a bracha on a piece of bread? Well, he could.
Why would he do? He's saying the bracha, no, but that would be Lefanena, not Lachrea.
Oh, no, Lachrea maybe just means benching. Privately, quietly, to yourself.
He's using the plural here, Lefanehem and Lachrehem. The plural would suggest that he's talking about both.
Maybe it could be talking about both. Possible. Okay, let's look in. Yeah, Rashi just says bring more farishla, so we don't really have much of an insight as to what that sentence means or why he's so lenient when it comes to a bal keri. Let's look at Tosfot. Tosfot's bal keri mahar her beliba ve'in mevarech lo lefaneha v'lo l'achareha, which is Tosfot's number 4. So that's a quote from the Mishnah. Perish afilu behirhor. So, which is basically what Rashi said, that even if you're thinking it, you're not even allowed to think the Berachas Kriya Shema. Kidim mashma b'gemara, as we'll see in the Gemara, behind the taima, disharina tfei b'kriya shema, Mibrachos, why do we say that when it comes to Kriya Shema, the Mishnah is the opinion, at least according to Hanukkah, that the Kriya Shema, you can at least think it, when it comes to the Birchas Kriya Shema, you can't. Why? Says Tosfot, Mishum de Kriya Shema, and the Brachos is Durabana. Okay. So that's basically what we've understood up until this point anyway, according to Rashi's Pshat, or Pashat Pshat, or even the Mishnah. But then Tosfot says, there are those who are of the opinion that Kriya Shema is Rabbana. Hainu Heicha Dehizki Yisias Mitzrayim. The only time anyone is of the opinion that Kriya Shema is Rabbana is only those who have already acknowledged Yisias Mitzrayim. You already
said it. Acknowledge it?
Yeah, you said it. You said it before. You said a sentence. You were learning about Mitzrayim. So you mentioned Yisias Mitzrayim somewhere else. You're right. The question is where? Not from the actual typical davening. Abul Masnisin, our Mishnah is Shul Hiski Yisias Mitzrayim. I mean, you're right. The typical cases you didn't mention. And therefore, our Mishnah is talking about where you did not mention Yisias Mitzrayim. Shul Hetiru Lo Lo'oimer Emes V'yatziv V'havi Kriyishma D'Raisa. So, in this situation, Kriya Shema, even according to that, Manda Omar is going to certainly say it's deraisa because the chiyuv of Kriya Shema within it is also the obligation to say it has Yisias Mitzrayim in it. And since you didn't mention Yisias Mitzrayim, which is deraisa, therefore that Kriya Shema now is deraisa. The Emes V'yatziv Derabbanan Shahari Hizki Yisias Mitzrayim be Kriya Shema. And the reason why, if you said Kriya Shema, if you would typically say Kriya Shema, then Emes V'yatziv, or as Tosfot later on, Emes V'yatziv is really also including the last part of the last sentence of the Shema, which has the Yisias Mitzrayim in it. So he says that once you've already said the Kriya Shema, Emes V'yatziv is Durabana. Shahari Hiski Yisias Mitzrayim with Kriya Shema. We already mentioned it. Ein L'Hakshos, now you can't ask, Niskin, the name of Emes V'yatziv, L'Olema Kriya Shema, maybe he should only say Emes V'yatziv, maybe the last sentence of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, but not the Shema. The Odif, Dilema Kriya Shema, the East Beinami Malchus Shemayim. It's better that you should say the Shema because it also has an aspect of Malchus Shemayim in it as well. So therefore, everyone is of the opinion that Kriya Shema in this situation is Deraisa, and that's the reason why the Mishnah is of the opinion that one is allowed to be Mahar, the person allowed to think. Now, it's brought down over here. Since we find, we talked about this just yesterday, about the shaila of if a person has a suffix that I bench, right? Suffix that I bench. So the Machaber said, we saw last night, that
the first
suffix deraisa. Alright, so suffix deraisa l'chumra,
right.
And the shaila is
after
that
the first three brachas, what's the
right, exactly. Is there a chiyuv to say Hatov HaMeitiv? Because Hatov HaMeitiv was Masakan and Yavne, which was Durabanan. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins that you still would have to say that paragraph as well.
Well, I want to ask you a question. You know, we were talking, I didn't get a chance to ask the question, but
yeah.
Where in the Torah do you have the first three brachos? Doesn't say that either. Where are you taking that from? Who put that together as Rabbanan?
Doesn't the second
prophet
come from Yoshua?
First paragraph was Moshe, the second was Yoshua, the third was David.
Right.
Right. Correct. In other words, when it says Deraisa, it means that in order to to fulfill your Chiyav Deraisa, it's necessary to say all three paragraphs.
What I'm saying is, how do you know that?
The
Deraisa doesn't say that.
Apparently, the elements that are found within those first three paragraphs are necessary for one to actually have fulfilled the Berach, the blessing Hashem. Like we certainly learned already in Tosfot on the Talmud that the reason why some say that women may only be or may not deraisa be on the bench is because they don't have bris and Torah. Bris and Torah is not found in paragraph number one. It's in paragraph number two. You know. So, you certainly see that there is this certain chiyuvim, deraisa chiyuv. In fact, if it says, if you didn't say Torah or Bris, then you're not yotzi lichavasa.
But it's still really a rabbinical interpretation of the Doraisa. It's not favorish like lulav or something else like that. We're interpreting it.
No,
and since
no,
we're
no.
Otherwise you're going to wind
up the mitzvah of Brigham Muslim Doraisa, but the text was
in
the Torah. Without Baal Peh, the Masorah Baal Peh.
But the first three paragraphs are Doraisa. Do you have to say it in Doraisa?
Well, certainly the first one was Moshe Rabbeinu. How do you know the first part of the first one you got?
The month. By the month.
This is going to leave you with the conclusion then.
Yeah.
Before the days of Yahushua, under the teaching of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Bnei Israel were not fulfilling the mitzvah properly, and even more so that until the days of David,
right? Even Yahushua, right?
Yahushua, Shoftim,
right? Exactly.
Shmuel, they weren't doing it right. That's a little bit hard to.
It's very hard to believe, and therefore. The idea is that the Nusach was instituted by Yahushua and Dov respectively, but certainly before that.
So it's really the only one really Doraisa. What Matthew's saying is this is the first of the things. So maybe we should just hold that the first one is Doraisa.
I mean, you can say that there's a mitzvah Doraisa to be mitpala.
But it's not Nusach to be mitpala
because we don't have the ikar of tefillah until on Sheikh Tessa Gola.
Right. Well, that's going to be over here. We're going to get to Tefillah D'Rabbanan, Tefillah D'Raisa, Machlokas Rambam D'Ramban. But this is what, it's a good question. But I mean, the Machaber clearly paskins the first few paragraphs of D'Raisa. Tova Meitiv is clearly D'Rabbanan. It was instituted at a much later time, so.
But like you said, this is always the other two paragraphs. Yeshua
right.
came.
Okay, much close.
No, Yeshua, but David. What's the diamond difference between David and Yeshua? How many years is that?
Quite a few hundred.
Exactly, a few hundred years. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So what's the difference between David to the Yavne? No.
Well, I mean,
basically, this number one. Basically, this number two.
Two, I know.
1,000.
Also,
but still,
during a period of reform.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not very comfortable with a great answer, but yeah, it certainly is worthwhile doing research. But I just wanted to share with this idea. So when it comes to Tov Meitiv was Derabanan. So the Mishnah Berurah says even though it's Derabanan, normally we say Sabi Deraisa L'Chumra. Right. So the question. So the first three paragraphs, which are Deraisa, however they are, but the Deraisa. That for sure you would have to bench in this case of a suffix.
But just say the three paragraphs, not the other ones. That's what.
Oh, but the Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion that you also have to say until the Meitiv.
Right.
Because, so you should not be mazalzel. You shouldn't belittle it and make it lowly or cheapened. So the question is like this. This is interesting. We talked about this yesterday because it's brought down over here in the Pri Chadash. He brings down the Shaila of our Mishnah. The Mishnah's talk says. A Baal Keri, when it comes to Berachas HaMazon, is Mevarach L'Acharav. And we saw in Rashi, why is he Mevarach L'Acharav? Why should he think it? Because it's Deraisa, right? The Bracha before, or Berachas Kriya Shema, he shouldn't even think it. Not even hear her. Why? Because it's the Rabban. Right? That's what this Mishnah has been talking about. So therefore, so Kriya Shema, he should have Hiror because we establishes Deraisa. Kriya Shema is Deraisa. Birchas HaMazon, he should think because it's Birchas HaMazon, benching is
Deraisa. The first three things.
So this is
the question.
So that's the question.
How does that come from?
Right. That's the same Shaila. That's the same Shaila as we were talking about last night. The Shaila is that when we allow the Baal Keri to be Mahar here, Bebirchas HaMazon, is that only for the first three paragraphs? It's not clear, based on our mission. Maybe it's only the first three paragraphs of Deraisa, but the fourth paragraph of Tova Meitiv, which is Derabanan, maybe you shouldn't hear her, is not allowed. So this is what he says. There's two lines, and we'll go back there. He says,
"Yes, for sure."
It brings down different Mepharshim. But he brings down the Pri Chadash over here, and he says, "Midalum Machlik beBerachas HaMazon Atzmo." Since when it came to Kriya Shema, he makes a distinction between the Shema and Berachas Kriya Shema. But our Mishnah makes does not distinguish between any paragraphs of the benching. Therefore, Mashma defil hatova meitiv is demid rabbanon who avalpikin maharher. Nonetheless, will still allow the Baal Keri to be maharher even in paragraph number 4 of benching. Dechi tiknuhu, because once they established that he's allowed to have thoughts, so he's for berachas amazon. That's Hainu the Chol Hecha, the Mevarkim of Brachos, Mevark Gamkim of Tova Meitiv. He's also allowed to think Tova Meitiv as well. Now that's which we talked about, which is basically Lishitasa, what the Mishnah Berurah said. That once we allow the Birchas HaMazon to kick in, so then we allow him to do the whole thing. And then he brings out another interesting point. Krishma is Diraisa. But how much of Krishma is Diraisa? Are all three paragraphs Diraisa?
They're all found in Diraisa.
All those sections are found in the Torah.
Right.
But to fulfill the obligation of saying the Shema, is it necessary to say all three paragraphs mid-Diraisa? Of course, you're supposed to say all three paragraphs. But to Ikar Adin, to fulfill your Torah obligation, can you fulfill it by saying less than the three paragraphs? So, and this is a machlokas. No one holds that you have to say all three paragraphs. Some are the opinion that Diraisa is the first two paragraphs. Some are the opinion that it's the first paragraph, right? Gabi Krishma Hanak Shitasa Dirak Pasuk Echa, or Parshecha Diraisa. There's some people that say only the first Pasuk is Diraisa. The rest of it is not Diraisa. Of course, the Psukim are found in the Torah. But the Chi of Diraisa, of saying the Shema, some say it's only paragraph number one, some say it's only sentence number one. So therefore, you can ask the same Kasha. That which we allow the Baal Keri to Mahar here, when it's Diraisa, when it comes to Kriya Shema, does it mean all Kriya Shema, or only the aspects which are Diraisa? And therefore, according to Bri Chadash, he's saying that, no, once we allow him to start thinking parts of the Kriya Shema which are Diraisa, we'll have to continue the whole thing.
It's left close. We don't
have right, exactly. Because the Mishnah doesn't.
One question
the Mishnah
here, doesn't. This probably just relies my ignorance of this, but is a Baal Keri at a deeper and more humor level of Tuma than a Tamei Mei?
Much less level of tumma. Tummy mace is someone who's tummy for 7 days. He needs the sprinkling of the.
So why would someone have all these things that they're not allowed to do this, not allowed to do that when they're a Baal Keri, and they don't talk about a tummy mace? And we come to an epoch like now where everybody's tummy mace, there would be a very major problem.
Right. Rashi's going to answer that question. When we get to the Gemara over here. Now, the question is, really there's no halacha that says that a Baal Keri is not allowed to say the Shema. There's no. That's why Rabbi Huda says, Mevarach et Neim Achareihem. Rabbi Huda doesn't buy into any of this.
Right.
We don't know why. We'll see why.
What about if it's Sarah? That's excommunicated from the camp. What is he allowed to do or not allowed?
It's not. We don't find anywhere that he's not allowed to daven. You know, he's certainly allowed to be Yosef in the various mitzvahs.
Oh, he can daven from. See, we're talking about a yachid.
Exactly. Yachid is no problem. I mean, he can daven with a minion as long as they're all mitzvahs.
It seems dafka. And that's what this first Rashi says over here, that when it comes to a Baal Keri, it was a Takana from Ezra, Dafka from a Baal Keri.
Why is that? And what was he worried about?
Apparently, he felt that when it came to the Kedusha and Tahara of Divrei Torah, it was necessary for a person to make sure that they can be Matar themselves. See, this the major difference between a Baal Keri and someone who is, let's say, Tamei Meis is. There's nothing you can do about it if you are a Tamei Meis. Because on day one, you can be the biggest tzaddik gamor. There is nothing you can do to make yourself tahor. Nothing. You have to wait 7 days and go through a whole ceremony. Right. But when it comes to a Baal Keri, all you need to do is to rid yourself of that tumah tefillah. That's it. So on one level, because it's Makel on some level, that's the reason why he's machmir, because you could rid yourself of this tumah, so get rid of the tumah. Okay, but there's more to it, as we're going to see in the Rashi and the Gemara. But Ezra, for some reason, felt an obligation to institute this takana, which apparently Rabbi Huda, not necessarily that he doesn't agree with that there's such a takana, but he, there, because Rashi says that Ezra's takana was only la'asok b'torah, right? That's what Rashi says. Balkari matakanas Ezra be'elach shetikin tviul balkari la'asok b'torah, which is kind of strange because our mission is not talking about learning. It's talking about davening. It's talking about benching. Okay. So it really has not, seemingly has nothing to do with one another. And that's probably, maybe has something to do with what Rehuda is going to have to say as well. We're not going to get to that anytime soon. It's going to be over there. All right. Let's see the Gemara. Om Ravina. Zos Omeres. This Mishnah is a Raya that he heard Kedir B'dami. That one who thinks, it's as though you said. Here, Kedibra Dami. De'isach l'daitoch, lav Kedibra Dami. Because if you want to tell me that here is lav Kedibra Dami, that thinking really is nothing. It has no validity, it doesn't have any power, it doesn't mean anything. So lom mahar. Then what's this whole business of our Mishnah of saying you should think, you shouldn't think, sometimes you should be mahar, sometimes you shouldn't be mahar.
Is it machshava kamasa?
What?
Is it machshava kamasa? Is that what you're basically saying?
Here or Kedibur, that there's certain mitzvos, the mitzvos of our Mishnah are not action mitzvos, they're speaking mitzvos, right? They're Dibur mitzvos. Benching is a Dibur, Shema is a speaking. So the question is, the thought one's thoughts, is that comparable halakhically to Dibur, right? So it's similar idea.
I was under the impression that thoughts, while they can't carry an onus, it's still very important. You say, Sof Ma'asev Ma'ashabat Tilah. It starts with the process that the Dibur is sort of the link between the Ma'ashabat and the Ma'asev, and then it comes to the Ma'asev. And that the Onesh generally only is for the Ma'asev, except for certain things you can do in Dibur.
Well, there certainly is.
But it certainly has importance. It doesn't mean that the Ma'ashabat, to begin with, has no importance.
Machshava roi nekodesh baruch hu mitzraf l'maisa. Hashem doesn't necessarily, our thoughts, Hashem does not necessarily hold us accountable for.
Right, they're saying there's no punishment for it, but it still doesn't take away the importance of it.
Right.
It takes away the importance of it in terms of making you liable for punishment.
But have you actually accomplished anything, if you halakhically accomplished anything by thinking the Kriya Shema, have you halakhically accomplished anything by thinking benching? Right. So according to our Mishnah, it sounds like you have, because otherwise, why are we making waste of time by thinking if you're...
Because if you say that, say you don't have to be bothered at the same time, hey, I'm thinking about benching, I don't bench, so I should be, why do you tell me about carrying?
Right.
Just say, hey,
right.
I thought about it, that's I'm right. done, that's I'm right. finished, well, I thought about benching.
We have the atmosphere, we have the...
Yeah.
You
know,
if you just
right.
think about it, that doesn't do it.
That's right.
You can't say it.
Right. So because there are different concepts. For example, there's a concept which the Gemara in Kedushin says that Devarim Shebelev Einu Devarim, that what you think is not necessarily a word, so it's not enough just to think it, it's necessary for you to say. But we also know another concept of Shtika Koda. Shtika Koda. So you, by saying nothing, sometimes it's as though you said something, you know. So we have all these contradictory statements. And the way that it's brought down over here is that sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, where there's an umdana, which means where you're able to ascertain and understand based on the context of what's going on, then sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So for example, shtika koda could be that you say something, and I have the opportunity to rebut it, and I say nothing, so the fact that I said nothing is an umdana, that it's, I agree. So even though I didn't say anything, it's though I said something. On the other hand, there's some times where it's not so clear, that just because you said, you're thinking something, we don't know necessarily
what you're thinking,
and who says that means that you fulfilled anything. And therefore, that's the idea of, you're right, you can derive possibly from this Mishnah, here, Kedibra Dami, not just for the Balkari, but in general. But again, this concept is of the umdana means that it has to be that you have to, based on your what you're doing, your thought process, that it's understood that you're trying to accomplish something. So when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, it's pashut that a person would need, you need to have an element of kavana of what you're doing. You have to know what you're about to do. You wish to be mekayim a mitzvah. So a person who's thinking it, you don't wish to be mekayim a mitzvah, even if you would say here kedibudam. But you have no interest in being mekayim the mitzvah when you're maharher. How do I know that? Because afterwards you say it. The fact that you say the words afterwards is an umdana. It's clear that you had no interest in being mekayim the mitzvah in the hirur. So even if you say here kedibudam, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you can never, as we said, count the omer with a bracha. Makes no sense. Because it's an umdana that you're counting by speaking, you never had an interest to fulfill.
That, Matt, for that being that said, when you talk about the Omer, let's say you think the wrong day. So if you thought the wrong day,
right,
you'd be yotze, and then you could never complete with a bracha. Let's say you thought 4 days ahead of whatever
right.
the day is today, right?
Yes.
So then you can't count for it for the rest of the time with a bracha, because you thought about it. If your thought is process is like saying it, you'd be disqualified.
Right, but you're saying that that's not true.
Of course, it's not true.
Not true, of course. So, but this is the proof that we're trying to derive from our Mishnah. It must be that hirur is kedibur dami, because otherwise there's no reason why we would want this person to do something which halakhically has no validity. It doesn't mean anything by having them think the benching. They must be thinking the benching means something. Elomai hirur kedibur dami. So therefore, it must be that here is kedibur dami, that your thinking is just like speaking. So the Gemara says, if it's true that here is just like speaking, then you have to be sfasim and say it. If thinking alone has power, it means something, so then why don't we allow the Baal Kari just to say it? Why are we making this distinction? Right. So the Gemara answers kedashkechan desina, and this I believe is going to answer the question that we were asking before. Rashi says, what does it mean kedashkechan desina? So Rashi says, Shafrishan Me'ishim, that as we're going to be learning about close to Shloshes Me'ahagvala, close to Shavuos, so there was a chiyuv
of separating for 3 days.
Separating. Desiv Altikshal Isha. Ve'alprishazu Samach Ezra Sachin Tvil Balakarian. Kodem Shis Askub Torah. So he derived from this idea that just like for us to be Osit, to be Makabel the Torah, it had to be that we were in a state of tahara, right, and that we should not become a balkari, that we should be in a state of tahara. So therefore, as you understood, in order to, on any day, to be makabel the Torah, you also have to be, you have to be clean, which is an unbelievable vort. The vort, you can say, what do you mean? Har Sinai, Hashem, Moshe, Luchos, all these things. So what am I doing here? I'm in the Mill Harbor and today, but according to Ezra, there's no chiluk. This is the same Torah, right? You're still being same kabbalas haTorah, even if it's not at Har Sinai, and that's the same seriousness of accepting and learning Torah. Dechsiv, as he learns out from these pesukim, about daktim l'benecha, the samach le yom asher amatu lefnei Hashem alchacha b'chayrev, k'damrin l'kam l'bepirkin. So these two pesukim, the second pasuk talks about the day in which I stood b'chorev, which is Har Sinai. And the pasuk also says, v'adatim avnecha, you should teach and let the Torah be known to your children. So therefore, since we have this connection between Divri Torah and standing, it's only shayach to be able to teach Torah in a state of tahara. And therefore, Ezra felt that Badafka, by a Balkari, it was necessary for him to rid himself of that tumah.
How would Ezra look at a woman who has a period? I mean, she's Matame, so she should be able to do any mitzvahs or anything else like that, because she's not really clean. If you want to look at it that way.
This is Devi Torah. It's Dafka Torah. It's not about mitzvahs.
Well, let's say Torah. Let's say so. So a woman shouldn't have to quit bang and do all the things that we learn according to the way Ezra Paskins here.
But Ezra's only talking about a Balkari, someone who could rid themselves.
But he's comparing it to being Matame before Matan Torah, he's putting it on the same level. So why don't you say that a woman should be the same thing? It's even, you know.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
As we're about to, you know, embark upon Shavuos, the question is, when there was actually Kabbalah Satorah on Shavuos, right? Were there any women that were in the state of Tumah as a Nida? Was there a single Nida among the Klal Yisrael?
I imagine there
were. There were, right? There certainly were, because what is there to do? It's, you know, it's a natural phenomenon. It's something which happens. But when
I can throw something at you though, but maybe a woman didn't have the law of Nida up until that time. They only had the seven mitzvahs. At that time, maybe it wasn't shayach until after we cut the Matan Torah, so she wasn't really tumah.
So the same laws of Tumah may not have.
Maybe didn't apply at that time because it wasn't.
Then why did they require to separate from their wives if there was no laws of Tumah?
Maybe some women were Nida and people didn't know the law of Nida.
That's what I just said. There was no law of Nida.
What's really interesting here is when we talk about whether it's thought or something like that, a hirhur. And we say that a hirhur you can't get an onesh for. But this is a dichotomy because a hirhur you can get schar for. If you think Divrei Torah,
right.
Or certainly if you read Divrei Torah, you get scoffed. You can scoff every single word. We know that now, certainly, there are some people who are gedolim who publish things on websites for the Sfira.
Right.
I must get six emails a day telling me what the Sfira is going to be, and it says the day in there. But since it's not said verbally and it's not announced, I can read it and I can still count that night.
Right. And that's the idea of this pasuk. The pasuk says "Vodatim Avanacha," which means that you have to let it be known to your children. Which means that the whole iser, this is how he reads this, is dafka by speaking it, because it's "Vodatim Avanacha." Because how else can you possibly educate your child from parent to child if not with words? Right. You have to use the words exactly. You have to say it. And therefore,
this could be why the best measures is a noisy place, because you just had a bunch of people sitting and they were reading
like
the
library.
You know, they would be getting schar, but it's the biggest schar they verbalized.
Right. But the idea of Divrei Torah, of Torah being learned, is bedibur, is with words. And therefore, the idea of what Rashi over here is saying of the Hadat of Anecha is that the whole Isser is. What is saying, but hirhur is allowed, because even if you would say hirhur is kedibur dami, this is what the Gemara is saying. If it's hirhur kedibur dami, so yotzei b'sfasos, so say it. No, kedash kachan b'sinai. What does that mean? What it means and what Rashi is saying, based on the words about datum of anecha, is that the whole issue is speaking, which means. Even if you say hirhur is kedibur dami halachically, but we see that when it comes to Divrei Torah, the pasuk about datul vanecha is not talking about thinking Torah, because thinking Torah is not a way to transfer Torah over to your children. Transferring it over is only bedibur.
Well, if you think Torah, how are your kids going to know what you're thinking?
You can't transfer. Exactly. That's why I'm saying that's the idea of why hirhur is kedibur dami. On one hand, here kedibur dami, that thinking is the same thing as saying it. Yet, when it comes to this Mishnah, we don't want you to say the Shema. We want you to think it. Well, what's the difference between saying if thinking is saying?
Maybe because when you're thinking it for yourself, and you're involved. You yourself, you be yotzei with bracha. But as far as to transfer over, that's a difference. Somebody else is involved. It doesn't work. Yourself, right. It could work. But not the thought
right.
Is to doing something for yourself.
Right.
Not
right. if it's a level right. Of thought, right. You can get scarred with thinking Torah. The only time that you can really think Torah is if you're in a Makom Tumah, like in Sherutim or something like that. And then it becomes difficult. How's the person really control their thoughts completely? But even so, you're not supposed to do it there. The other question is that when you come to a thing like... Lashon Hara. There's no place that I've seen where it says that if you think about somebody, you're thinking about
Because, you know, how are you going to translate it without saying right. that Erwin Peckman is the greatest guy in the world? How are you going to know what everybody's thinking about Erwin Peckman, right? Because you thought about it, but you didn't say it, so nobody knows it. That's right. The point. That says on Lashon Hara. Because in your mind, how can you have Lashon Hara about something?
Lashon,
right. Speaking is it's transporting an idea. If you
What if you enjoy talking to yourself in an empty room and you speak Lashon Hara? You got Lashon Hara? You said the words.
If somebody could possibly hear you.
No one heard you. There's an empty room. There's no one around.
We're getting into that if a tree falls in the forest, nobody can make any noise.
No, but
I think if you verbalize it, I think that you're getting into it. Certainly, even if nobody else hears it, it's worse than just thinking it. And at the same time, we say that Lashon Hara harms three people.
Right.
It's got to harm the person who hears it, and the person who's being spoken about, and the person who speaks it. So if nobody hears it,
you're
at least losing that one person for that could harm.
Really, too. You're not really doing anything. You're not accomplishing anything.
Right.
You're not really
you're
doing anything.
You're something under your breath about something that really, you know.
Right. That's not Lashon Hara.
Right.
That's not Lashon Hara. It's maybe not advisable. It's probably a... Yes. Okay, let's just see the next... Let's look at the next side, the other way of looking at it, which is the first wide line. Rav Chista Omar... It's really 8 o'clock, but let's wait a couple more minutes. Rav Chista Omar, Hiru Lav Kidibadami. Rav Chista disagrees with the opinion of Ravina and says that you can actually use this Mishnah to derive the opposite, that Hiru is not the same as speaking. Because which was our Gemara's question, that doesn't make sense. If it's the exact same thing, then why are we limiting this individual and saying only think it?
And that's why we say Hashem Svasai Tiftach, when you're about to say Tfilah, because you want to hear the words. Why would you say that?
Right.
We could just, you know, bench and talk to Tfilah by yourself. Why are we saying Hashem Svasai Tiftach?
That also means
right, I see what you're saying. Well, let's just go through this. Elamai Hirulav Kedibradami. So Lama Maharher. So if it's true that Hirhor does not have any halachic meaning, then what's the purpose of our Mishnah telling us that when it comes to this person, he should think? So that this person shouldn't just be sitting there and doing nothing while everyone else is davening. And the question, of course, is, which we're not going to be able to get to this week, is, well, let's say you're in the middle of davening. So he says, we don't want you to do nothing. So the question is, so why is it when it comes to the Shema, we don't want him to do anything? But so when it comes to Berachas Kriya Shema, he can sit there and do nothing. If in fact, Hiru is Lav Kedibur Dami, it means nothing. So the question is, so why do we make a difference between the Shema and Berachas Kriya Shema? If it means nothing, so what difference does it make? Why would we say that when it comes to Berachas Kriya Shema, we don't want him to even think? That's something which we'll have to discuss. We'll stop here. I don't know if I'm going to say that 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 I